process, yes. I'm just allowing you to finish so that we can start in 5 minutes. Good morning, honorable members, the minister and his team, the committee staff, members of the media. Ngithi babuthanda angikulinde uzihlale phansi ukwazi nokudigesta. Honorable Rima, this thing reminds me when we used to travel with a bus or a taxi. When you find a place to relieve yourselves, you then send others because you want to leave. Those that you send, they don't come. Instead, those that were supposed to come, were going to be fetched, they come first. Now, I nearly regretted myself to say, let's finish, because I could see that whilst there were others were coming in, those that were inside, I couldn't call them in. But thanks for coming back. You are welcomed. I don't know, Honorable Pikinini, I heard something that in that town where you come from, there is a 50,000 steering wheel that disappeared for a car. Now, I'm not sure whether in PE you want to take a 50,000 steering wheel and put it in a quantum, but I'm sure finally it will be found. We are meeting today as the Committee on Mineral Resources on the basis of a command from the House Chairperson, of which I think we have had interactions. I must say from the onset, regrettable, time is of essence and it may not be on our side anymore. We have had two meetings that had continued and at times ended where they had started. And I hope now we will know where we started and where we can find one another, so that we can, whilst at the same time we must deal with a little bit of speed, we should also do justice to the process itself. So I'm sure as honorable members we'll know how to balance between the two, because finally we have a responsibility on our shoulders to perform. Any apologies? Oh, I'm told there is none. Honorable Mandela?
Not just Honorable Matlala says he apologizes for his delays.
Not because I assume, at least you are fortunate as a member, I know. Honorable Paulson?
Yeah, apologies from Honorable Makwena and Mokaose, who normally serve on this committee. I'm standing in for them.
No, you can sit for them. Because once you stand, you may just decide when it's not time to walk, to walk. So you are welcome to the committee. Having said so, honorable members, in light of the also directive from the House Chair that first we must invite the minister so that he can be able to respond on the questions that honorable members would have to ask in relation to the letter and on the matter which relates to state capture, We had agreed, obviously, that I still hold my words, that honorable members would ask questions, but obviously our primary task is to ask questions that are related to the execution of the executive actions by the executive authority. But we said we will not limit members to that. My request will be that sometimes I know preambles are correct, they are necessary, but I always say they may make us miss the point, is that when we deal probably with those questions, it will be much more preferred that we first start with those that we know that they are dealing specifically with the area of an executive exercise, so that we can be able to consolidate those as quickly as possible and then move forward. Subsequent to that, as I said to honorable members, we received the response of an acceptance of the invitation by the minister, who is now present with us. And he had requested, though, because as I said, the powers that I have, I hope next time I will have executive powers that I have, they are not necessarily, especially on this matter, on the basis of what we have. He had therefore requested that he address the committee first on the letter that we have sent to him. And I said as a committee, we are quite, I don't think we'll have a problem with him. And then we will then allow members of the committee to ask questions in relation to the directive that we received from the House Chair. That's the only item that we are having today. And hopefully, by the time we wrap up, we will have dealt with the matter and then agree on what then is going to be the way forward. So if there is no problem, can we then give in to the minister?
No, thanks, Chair. The members of this portfolio committee for inviting me. I must indicate, Chair, that I was a bit surprised when I got a letter that is demanding that I should attend this meeting. As you all know, that I've always made myself available when this committee needs me. I thought just an invitation will actually be enough for me to be with you, because this is my committee and I'll always work together with you when you need me. My second concern, Chair, is that the letter that invites me says I must come and answer questions on state capture. What surprises me is that this matter has actually been tabled before a number of legal forums by various individuals, including members of this committee. This matter, as you will know, as members of the committee, is at the High Court currently, which is a platform which I thought is a respectful platform. Secondly, Honorable Lorimer raised the matter with the public protector. And when this matter was raised, I went publicly to say I support the move by the honorable member, because that will give dignity and integrity in dealing with this matter rather than casting aspersions. Not only that, the honorable member of parliament, Honorable Menir, opened a case against me on the same matter. And I also went public to say I do support his endeavor, because I did understand at that time that in South Africa, our constitution says a person is innocent up until proven guilty by the court of laws. I thought these members were doing an honorable thing to stop casting aspersions on the media publicly, trialing individuals without giving them an honest and fair opportunity to answer for them. Not only that, Honorable Lorima went further to register this matter with the registrar. And in that occasion, when I was asked, I said, fair and square, let this matter be dealt with once and for all, so that as members of this committee, we can begin to deal with real issues that affect our people, real issues on my scope of work as a minister, because I feel there are many positives that we are achieving as a country, as a department, and nobody knows about them because we are seized with this matter. Now, when I got this invitation that I must come here and answer on state capture, I asked myself, which structure amongst all these structures is going to take precedence? Are honorable members in this committee having something urgent, or have we lost faith in our legal structures? Or do we really want to play politics on this matter or assassinate individuals' characters in a public platform? Am I being trialed publicly before I get my fair trial? Because as honorable members, if this matter is before the courts, before the High Court, before the public protector, before the registrar, we should all be knowing that this matter will get a fair hearing. And I've always indicated my willingness to cooperate with all these structures to ensure that this matter is laid to rest. Having said that, I must ask a question: am I being investigated? So that at least I know. If so, who is a complainant? So that we begin to deal with facts, leave fictions and rumors or allegations. As honorable members, we should be honorable enough to deal with facts, not allegations, not media speculations. I would have been happy if the letter had went to specifics in terms of specifically what are the questions that I need to answer relating to this issue of state capture, so that I know and I'm prepared to answer any question that is related to my work that members feel that they need to get more information on. But the letter was very vague. Just said, state capture, come and answer. To me, respectfully, state capture is a very broad word. And if specifics were provided, I would have been very happy to deal with those specifics and help this committee to deal with this matter and clear it once and for all, so that we concentrate on what we need to do. Chairperson, having said that, I am looking forward to this meeting to take this opportunity once more and clear myself on this issue. I just hope that this opportunity will serve to help members to ensure that we pass this stage and deal with our real work as the people of South Africa are expecting us. Indeed, in my answering of your questions, as I've said before, that this matter is before a number of platforms legally, I may not be able to answer all your questions because that may prejudice me. And if I do so, do understand that I'm not doing so because I don't want to answer. It's just that you have put me in a position where we have to deal with some of the matters that we all know that are sub judice, are before the courts. So I'll reserve my right not to answer those matters that are a subject of the court, but otherwise, I want to once more say I'm always available, should you need me, to work with you and move South Africa forward. I thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Minister. But let me also say this from the Chair. As a committee, as you have seen, the letter comes from the House Chair to say that this is the work that has to be done. And subsequently, and I think we made that available, subsequently, we did send it to the House Chair to say what could be the terms of reference that as a committee we will have to focus on. The response was straightforward. As an executive authority and as a committee that is supposed to make the executive to account, your first point of call is to call the minister and deal with those, and then we will then be able to say subsequently what is it that will follow. Secondly, as we have said again, we were not aware that there are other processes, particularly from members of this committee. Neither is it probably something that they should have shared with us. But based on the letter, we had the duty to then go as per the directive, and which is what the exercise is all about. With regards to the sub judice principle, we will have to consult with the rules, but I think it is a subject on what is it that will be raised, and I think at that point we will be able to deal with that matter as to what extent it will be prejudicial, yes. Don't say English.
but
sayisibhidiliza lesi singisi sosithola asiphoqelekile ngathi now yazi ngiyakhumbula ngathi okay honorable members the concerns I'm sure that the minister has raised, even ourselves as committee members, at the end we will then have to, not to say it's me who's responding to them. I know this is a very exciting, emotive, and so forth. Can we get any questions? Honorable Mandela? Okay. Honorable Paulsa? Honorable Lorima? Honorable Schmidt? My request will be that at least let's try and streamline those questions. Let me see what will be your behavior in the first round of questions. If your behavior demands that we must also make other members be participants, then I will have to exercise that authority. So you must know that you are committee members. Welcome, Prof. Matip.
Kubon, thanks, Chairperson. And let me take this opportunity to welcome the input given by the Honorable Minister Zwane of Mineral Resources on this sensationalized matter, which we seem to pick up in the public domain. Again, Honorable Chair, for your guidance, please feel free to interject, as this matter has led to us doing a lot of research of what is in the public domain and has resulted in us coming up with numerous questions. So if the Honorable Chair feels fielding 50 questions at once is a problem, then please interject where you feel necessary to allow me to pause and enable other members to put in their questions.
Let me, I don't want to interject you. Let me say, in that power given to me, it will be better to start with your very serious questions, so that if I feel that it's going to limit the participation of other members, I don't do so before you place your serious question. Let me be honest. If you were to come with 50 questions, then it will suggest that other members should not participate in the committee. So I know you are reasonable, and others will be far more reasonable than you.
No, thank you, Chair. I think perhaps, Honorable Chair, at the center or the heart of State Capture's report is a call to probe allegations of improper conduct and undue influence exerted by the Gupta family over the President of the Republic, His Excellency President Zuma, his cabinet, organs of state, especially state-owned entities. This extends to allegations of influencing cabinet positions, strategic appointments in state departments and parastatals, and undue influence on departments or from tender procedures to benefit the Guptas. Perhaps to start off, Honorable Chair, there's this thing that we seem to be picking up in the media, always alluding that the Honorable Minister is a Gupta minister. Therefore, I want to pose the first question to ascertain whether did the Gupta family have any influence on the appointment of the minister as a cabinet minister, whether the minister was aware at any stage that the Guptas had offered any cabinet positions to senior positions in government or the parastatals, and or whether he was aware at any stage whether the head of the executive did anything to investigate such claims. Second to that, Honorable Chair, further, whether the minister was party to any discussions related to such appointments in the presence or absence of the Guptas in their aides. Whether the head of the executive had at any stage discussed or intimated anything that may be construed as undue influence on such appointments. Perhaps also let's ascertain, Honorable Chair, if indeed is the minister a friend to or an associate, or does he enjoy any kind of relationship with the Gupta family? But I don't want to limit it to the Gupta family, Honorable Chair. Perhaps there is a relationship with the Oppenheimers, the Ruperts. Perhaps we can deal with those further when we engage on these matters of state capture, because state capture should be undertaken in the broader context and not limited to a particular family. Therefore, I'd also like to know, Honorable Chair, has the minister ever been involved directly or indirectly with the Gupta family? Let me come to the issue of the Frede Dairy Farm, Honorable Chair. I would like to also understand if the minister, Honorable Zwane, can enlighten the committee on the allegations of state capture report linking him to a dairy farm project in Frede, which apparently benefited the controversial Gupta family, and whether there is any merit in such allegations. If so, can you please elaborate on the extent or the nature of such involvement? If not, whether he is aware of the involvement of other cabinet ministers or state officials in such allegations. There's also been a number of reporting, Honorable Chair, in terms of the minister's involvement in a Waterkloof Air Force base, which has resulted in infamous Sun City wedding in 2013. So let me sponsor a question in that regard, whether there is any basis in fact that the Honorable Minister Zwane was also allegedly involved in the family's plane, that of the Guptas, landing at Waterkloof Air Force Base for the infamous Sun City wedding in 2013. Last one, Honorable Chair, it seems that the minister is under surveillance on his trips and his whereabouts. And I'd like to sponsor a question in this regard, Honorable Chair, that the committee remains committed to dealing with these allegations, particularly on state capture, in the public interest. It is therefore alleged that the Honorable Minister of Mineral Resources undertook overseas trips and traveled to Zurich in Switzerland and then proceeded to Dubai in the UAE, United Arab Emirates, then to Delhi in India. He went back to Dubai, then Johannesburg at a whopping cost of 96,630 rands. Can he kindly indicate if this is so and whether such trips were in your personal interest or whether they were in official state business? Thank you, Chair. I'll pause there for now and I'll spike on the second round.
I was not saying it's the last. It was the last on what you were raising as a question. Honorable Paulsa, I nearly didn't notice you because you were not like that when I first saw you in the house. But it's okay.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Minister, for availing yourself for this committee meeting. Chairperson, unlike Honourable Mandela, I'm going to be a bit more direct. I've got nothing to... I'm not going to try and protect the Minister. Minister, before you were appointed as a Minister in the Cabinet of Ubaba Kadudzani, you were MEC in the Free State Provincial Government. And as MEC of Agriculture, you drove a government project to adopt the Estina Vrede Farm Dairy project in June 2012. But I want to know, in October that year, Minister, the Gupta family allegedly took you and your gospel choir on an all-expenses-paid trip to India. So I want you to either confirm or deny, did you travel to India with your choir? And if yes, did the Guptas or any company associated with the Guptas pay for the trip? That's my first question. Then, Chairperson, through a leaked email, it was discovered that more than 180 million rand in public money was channeled through a complex web of local and international companies, all controlled in one way or another by the Gupta family. Close to 30 million rand was paid to a company in Dubai, and an equal amount paid back to South Africa through a wedding company, which would later, of course, do the wedding for the Guptas at Sun City. So, Minister, related to that, did you approve the dairy farm project in the Free State? And did KPMG as auditors ever raise concerns about a possible corrupt transaction as far as this project is concerned? Did you or a member of your family or any of your friends benefit from the Estina Farm project? Chairperson, my third question to the Minister for this round. Minister, you travelled to Switzerland and you said you travelled on official business to promote investment opportunities in South Africa, and you were accompanied by officials from your department. But the trip cost 347,000 rand. You were asked whether you travelled with any other persons other than officials. You never denied this, but you refused to disclose whether or not there were any other persons other than officials on that trip. So I'm asking you again, Minister, was there anyone who was not an employee of your department who travelled with you to Switzerland? Next Minister, did you meet with anyone from Tegeta who you did not travel with from South Africa? And ended up going to a meeting to discuss the sale of Optimum Coal. Did you meet with anyone from Glencore while you were in Switzerland? And if yes, if you met with anyone from Glencore, did you discuss the sale of Optimum Coal? Also, did you discuss with Glencore the 2.1 billion Rand Eskom fine for poor performance? While we're on that topic, Minister, did you miss your booked flight from Zurich to the United Arab Emirates, or more specifically, Dubai? Seems to me you're all going to Dubai. Also, did you fly from Zurich to India? If yes, with which airline did you fly to India? And what exactly were you doing in India? Minister, were you ever inside the Gupta-owned Bombardier jet ZS stroke OAK? Chairperson, that's all for this round. I'll wait for the next round to ask any further questions. Thank you.
I'm at your mercy too. Honorable Lorimer.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to just take us backwards before we even go there. We seem to have got into this very quickly. I see the Minister's brought a whole team. Normally we have introductions as to who's there. I wonder if we could maybe have those introductions. Secondly, we've had, I think, 10 broad areas from Honourable Mandela, and as I counted, 9 specific questions from Honourable Paulson. The Minister said that there may be some questions he would not be comfortable answering. I don't know whether any of the things that have been asked may fall under those subjects, so I don't know whether I should carry on and ask when he may not be going to answer anyway, and I was wondering whether we could maybe have answers to the questions that have been asked so far before we go any further.
I don't want us to always discuss the procedures of the meeting. I thought we have dealt with that issue and it was closed. One. Two, I don't want to second guess the capacity. When I addressed, I said we will deal with that question at a point where the minister would say, I may not be able to respond to this question because of 1, 2, and 3. We will look at the merits and the justification of the non-response, because it can't be his discretion that this is a matter that is sub judice and therefore the committee will not have benefits. For now, any question is a subject, even the ones that you would ask, would still be a subject whether they fit in that category. So when these questions are asked, my understanding is that we will deal with each question if we feel from the committee side that this does not necessarily prejudice any of the cases that are in front of other bodies for adjudication purposes. The last issue generally, but we can make the list, was that the person today, unlike when it's a normal process of the committee, For an example, if we're dealing with the APPs, the BRRRs last time, then the delegation introduces itself because they will be participant at some point or may be participant at some point in the committee. For an example, if it is the DG, the minister would just do an, what do you call this thing, more like an overview or whatever, or remarks. But the actual people who might deal with the presentations are those ones that are now dealing in the context of what the department is supposed to do or its entities. But I don't have a problem to make that introduction. But to me, they've got no material bearing in the proceedings of the committee, because not that they won't, they can't speak, they can't participate. So that is how is the rule, but I don't want to sound like I'm closing anything from anyone. Otherwise, the next thing they may say, okay, we should have also introduced the members, we should have asked everyone. No, and that's why I said I don't have a problem. That's, when I made this statement, Honorable Orim, I want to be clear. We have spent two meetings before, not dealing with the substantive issues. I would then ask everyone in this house, but we must understand what will be the implications to the process. So I don't have a problem. If we have to start, I'll start with myself. But I'm saying if we do that exercise, we must also be mindful of the fact that, and I want, for me, you know, I don't like to go this side. Then when we do that side, we must look at the time it's going to take for us. Two, we must know that we will still, if the minister is not finished, unfortunately, we'll still have to find time for the minister again to come, which will be subject to his availability or the reasons he will give. So I'm not opposed to it. I can get it from other members, so that it's not me. But we must know that time is not on our side, because I'm trying to think to what extent does it have a material bearing on the proceedings of today. Honorable Lorima, but any other take, it's not my ruling. Any other take on the matter? Honorable Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I just propose, at least something between 15 and 20 questions have been put between two individuals. I think it becomes untenable for a minister to be able to reply to all these issues within the context of what the question was. So there needs to be a reply by the minister insofar as his reconsideration of the context within which the question was asked. But it's up to you, Mr. Chair. But trying to reply to at least 30, if not 40 questions by the end of one round, I'll leave it up to the minister, Mr. Chair.
You see, that's exactly what you should have done. Let me explain. We know it, we've run meetings many times. If the minister, I ask a question, the minister does not answer a question that I had asked, I have a right from my point of a question that I've asked, even any member. For instance, on the question that Honorable Poulsen is asking, they might be overlapping with some of the questions that Honorable Mandela is asking. It's not necessary that if you ask 10 questions, the answer will be on the 10 questions. You may combine the questions because they talk to similar issues. If Honorable Poulsen or Honorable Mandela is not satisfied with the answer on the 10 questions or 7 questions he had asked, he has got a right to say, Chair, my question has not been answered, question so and so. That's how I understand we run meetings. So I don't want us to sit here and then have a discussion on the process. I can chair the meeting. That's why when I need an advice, I will ask for an advice on how to chair the meeting. When I feel that in the manner in which questions are answered, they are not helping us to arrive at a particular view. Or if members feel in the second round that question was not asked satisfactorily, they've got a right to come back and ask that question. Honorable Mafolo.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think we are taking a long time on discussing these issues. You open the meeting, you ask honorable members to ask questions. So let the members ask questions. If the minister has a problem with that, he knows what the right thing to do. He will say, please let's stop here. I will answer. Please let's proceed what we have with what we have started. Thank you very much.
Were you going to say that, Honourable Mandel?
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. You've given a directive, Honourable Chair, that we should pose our questions. I would want to raise this issue. You know, Honourable Chair, let's be clear. We have been accused of dragging our feet on this matter and also deploying delaying tactics on this matter. Now the matter is before the committee, the minister is here before us. We want to get on with the business of the day and field the questions. Whether we field 100 questions, 200 questions, we have a capable minister, a competent minister that can attend to these questions. Therefore, can we please not waste time? I want to second Honourable Mafolo's motion that we proceed with questions. Thank you.
Can we do it like this? Yes.
Chairperson, I just want some clarity from the Honourable Mandela when he says that we have been accused of dragging our feet. Who is the we? Is he saying that this portfolio is an extension of the executive? Because I think the minister is dragging his feet. Not this portfolio. We are here to hold the minister to account.
Let me clarify. No, don't worry. Cool down. How can you chill? Cool down. No, Honourable Posse. Leave, these are politics of this committee. Next time you know what does it mean. Yes, it was said in the committee, so don't worry. We don't want to go there because we will then start another discussion. It's not relevant now. Let's deal with the substantive issues. I'm trying to block you on anything that is going to defocus us on what we are doing. We'll discuss that one later on as a committee. What does it mean when we are done with our work with regards to the minister? One thing that's for sure is that, please, next time when I need an advice or to be assisted in chairing, I will do so. For now, can you allow me to chair? Secondly, like I did to Honourable Mandel, I could see the disadvantage that some of you are too far. I could see as he was asking you. So when someone goes like this, I could say, no, why this thing it still continues to go up? It means there are still more to come. So I had to cut him off so that I allow also other members to benefit from the questions that are supposed to ask. I will do so to anyone in this committee. Like, that's why I started with him. Honourable Lorima, can you shoot your questions?
Sure, Mr. Chair. Minister, could you tell us about the first time you met a member of the Gupta family or a member of any of the Gupta's business organisations?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first question I would like to pose deals with the CV of the Minister. It was sent by Mr. Franz Opa Mokwena of Kuna Consulting and Property Developers from Frieda, the town where you emanate from. He sent it to Mr. Tony Gupta, who sent it to Mr. Duduzama Zuma, on 1 August 2015. On the 2nd of September, you were, as I understand it, being sworn in as a Member of Parliament, and on 23rd September, you were appointed Minister. Do you know Mr. Franz Opa Mokwena of Kuna Consulting? Do you know Mr. Rajesh Tony Gupta? Well, let's put it this way. Did you know on the 1st of August 2015, Mr. Franz Opa Mokwena? And at that stage, did you know Mr. Tony Rajesh Gupta? And did you know Mr. Duduzane Zuma? And could you explain why they would send your CV, with or without your knowledge, to Mr. Tony Gupta and Mr. Dudizane Zuma. The second question I would like to ask is, please describe your relationship with the Gupta family for the period 2012 to, let's say, the end of 2016 or 2017, and your current, how would you describe your relationship with the Gupta family, and in particular Mr. Tony Gupta, as of now? Thank you.
Honorable Minister,
no, thanks, Chairperson, and the members for asking these questions once again. I think I've answered these questions more than 10 times in different platforms. I just wish members can take notes so that we do not forget them and bring them back again. I have said before that my own understanding of the appointment of members of the cabinet, it's a responsibility by law of the president. And when I was appointed in 2015, the same process was followed. I'm not aware of any situation where I had to discuss my appointment. I have also said before that in my work as a minister, I have met with Ivan Glazenberg, Makutufani, Efron, the Guptas, and many others in ensuring that we bring investment to South Africa, or we resolve problems that are there at that time. One of the problems or challenges I met with when I arrived here was that it was reported that about 85,000 workers in the mine are possibly going to lose their jobs. And in that 85, there were 3,000 workers which were urgent, because the company was put under care and maintenance. As I was new, I did ask the meaning of that care and maintenance, and I was told it meant the company is unable to operate further. I looked for the details. The company was Oak Bay, and the owners were Tlenko. I further looked at, is there any possible buyer or an interested party? I was told that only one company called Tegeta has shown some interest. As a minister, I took a sober decision. that let me talk to these two parties and see if we cannot resolve this matter. So I did undertake a trip to Switzerland, mainly because I was told that the owners of Ogbe stays there. I have said it publicly, and I'm saying it today, that I did facilitate that the two parties meet and talk to deal with these matters. As you know, the rest is history, because on my comeback, 3,000 jobs were saved. I did not discuss any other matters like your 2.1 billion rand for performance. My issue there was to save the 3,000 jobs. The issue of Free Dediri, Chairperson, I have said it before that when I came here, and my understanding, and I think that should be a simple understanding of these honorable members, if we all know our work, that I did not move with the portfolio of agriculture to the portfolio of minerals. I always find it interesting that I had to deal with matters of 2011 when I arrived in this portfolio of mineral resources by my previous predecessors and resolved them. Nobody went to them in their portfolios, new portfolios, to say, please do answer on the matters when you were there as a minister in mineral resources. But this one of Free Dediri, despite the fact that I'm saying to the members, all the files of my dealing with this matter are available and they are in capable hands in Bloemfontein, and there is an MEC there who's running that department. And I'm sure that MEC is highly capable of dealing with these matters of Free Dediri, so that I deal with the matters of the department where I am.
Chairperson.
No, what is it?
The minister is going to attempt to sidestep the questions asked relating to the Freedom Farm project.
No.
And we are not going to let him do that.
Can you allow him to answer?
Chairperson, we are holding a president to account for 18 charges.
Honorable
783 counts of 10 years ago. This minister is not going to sidestep this particular issue. And these ANC members here are not going to protect him here. We are here to hold that minister to account.
Order, Chair.
Wait. But Honorable Paul, sir, is either your intention is not to hold the minister to account. I said to you and all the members, if the minister is not answering the questions, you will have a right to come back. Why now is it an anticipational approach that is not going to? Wait for him not to do so. You then say, I want to make a follow-up. That's what accountability means. It's not that the person should not answer, or when he's answering, you feel that he may not go where you want him to go. You then want, that's why everyone asks questions in full. We accept that. Can we give him that chance to answer the questions in full? If there are questions that he has not responded to, we will remind him, you forgot to respond to this question. If the answer that he is giving is not satisfactory, we will ask him and say, no, but that is not what the question is. The question is about this. Can we allow that to happen? If what you think is going to do happens, you have got a right to raise your hand and say, no, you have not answered what I said you must answer on. Instead, you wanted to sidestep to what I was asking as a question. Can you allow him to do so? Continue, Minister.
I did raise the matter with Honorable Paul, sir. That is not wearing red today. And I'm glad that he responded positively and changed. I'm just raising this matter, Chair, because I think it's a fair way of raising issues. I'm not afraid of anything when it comes to Freddy Deary. But reasonably enough, I'm asking a question. If I am made to answer on Minister Shabangu's issues of 2011, why would anybody that needs any issue to deal with agriculture in Free State not go to Free State and ask? If they don't get answers, then they can come to me. The leadership in Free State is awaiting anybody who can want to deal with this matter. Unless I would then begin to say to this portfolio committee, let's go to Freddy Deary and see for ourselves what it is. But in short, Chair, let me place it on record that the idea behind Freddy Deary came with me, so that everybody knows. I initiated it. I met with all the political parties, including DA. I met with Mr. Jagelson. And there are records that DA supported the project. There are records. That is why I say, can you please, when dealing with this matter, take a holistic approach? I met with COPE when Comrade Kaskam Kita was still with them. They supported it. It's on record. I met with Freedom Front Plus. They also supported this project. Not only that, somebody has asked me, did you approve the project? The project was not approved by me. It was approved by the whole Free State legislature. That includes EFF. It is on record. The honorable member was not there. Go and check your records in the Free State.
Chairperson, this is out of order. This project was initiated in 2012. The EFF came into form part of elections in 2014. This man is mad. It's crazy.
Honourable member. You know, there's only one thing that I always tell members. When you know that probably what the intention was doesn't go your way, the only way is very silently try an exercise that is going to make the meeting disrupted or go wayward. I usually say, just ignore something that has got nothing to do with what we are all about. pretend as if someone has not said anything, because the best way to get attention is to do things that are going to deflate the attention all to yourself. Pretend as if you have not heard anything, Minister. Can you continue?
Comrade Willie Chabalala, a member of EFF, will tell you about this project for your information. So this project was approved by a collective of all the parties who were there. And those who were not there at that particular time continue to support the project. And I'm sure if you visit Friede Dairy, you'll support it too. Have I benefited anything out of that project, Honorable Chair? I have never thought of initiating any project because I want to benefit. The idea behind Friede Dairy was that in the milk industry, black people are not players at that level of Clover Parmalat and Nestle. If you go to Friede, you will see the magnitude of that dairy, that the aim was to bring a balance in the milk industry in terms of the South African population, because the beneficiaries, all of them, are black. And that was the sole aim. I do not have a relative there who's part of the beneficiaries. I have never met with Estina. I don't know who they look like. But I initiated the project. I'm sure for further details, as I've said, information is available in the Department of Agriculture when it comes to this project. Waterkloof Air Force Base, plain landing. I'm glad that I'm getting an opportunity to deal with this matter, Honorable Mandela. It always puzzles me how easily do South African people get convinced on rumors. I've always found it very difficult. How would anybody believe that a mere MEC from Free State can influence the landing of a plane in a different province from another international country? What powers would I be having to really influence this? At that particular time, I did not even know this Waterkloof Air Force Base. I did not even know whether there is an Air Force Base that is called Waterkloof. So I really don't know anything about this matter. And I hope everybody understands this. I have already answered a trip to overseas. I have gone to Dubai many times. In fact, yesterday I landed in South Africa from Dubai so that I assist the media and honorable members. I really continue to go there when I have a business to do in Dubai. And I will do so moving forward. We had a conference, Diamond Conference there in Dubai. And I was one of the main speakers, which went very well. I have gone to Dubai on investment missions. I've gone to India, I've gone to Switzerland, and should members want to find the details of those trips, I am sure we'll be able to interact with them in my court papers, to say the least. I did travel to Switzerland using an aeroplane. I don't know the number. I did not take the number. And you know, an aeroplane takes many people. And if I'm required to count who's in the plane with me, it's not a private plane. So it will be unfortunate. But what I know is that my officials were with me. Anybody else in that plane, unfortunately, I did not have a list of those people. And so I can't provide an appropriate answer. I did indicate that I met Glencoe, I met Tageta, I made them talk. 2.1 billion, I have answered that. I don't always remember the first time I meet people. Unless they are very dear to me and I meet them under the tree, and those memories keep on coming to me. I may not be able to answer that question appropriately. If you ask me when the first time you met Makutufan, I don't know. But I know I've met him several times. But the first time, and how was it? I meet many business people as I do my work. It is the same with this family. I'm really just asking myself, honorable members, why this family? Why is this portfolio committee just interested in my meeting with just one family, just one? I have said it before, I meet many people. And in Dubai, I've also met some interesting business people, including business people from South Africa in the diamond industry. And I've already said to one of them, come, let's talk. So they'll be coming to South Africa because we want to benefit here at home. That is our aim. If there's any problem from anybody with the Guptas, please let me know. I'm not part of that problem. And I can honestly tell this portfolio committee, if there's a need to meet them tomorrow, I'll meet them. Publicly, anywhere. So that you are all aware that I do not have an issue with them currently. Unless there's an issue that needs me to change my view on any of the stakeholders. I continue to meet with people who insult me in media every day, but I meet with them because I'm a leader. These people have not insulted me. But what I will not do, and you can write because I can see you are writing for record purposes, I will never favor any business person over the other. If I meet with people, I'm objective. If they are in the wrong, I deal with them. If you want proof, say I must give you records on the Section 54 that I've implemented against them. When I find that they are in the wrong, I deal with them decisively. Because my work is to engage with everybody. I do not know anything about the CV, but maybe it will help you to, for me to indicate and say, if you know Fried, it's a very small town, Fried. Everybody knows everybody there in Fried. If you ask me, do I know Mr. Makubo, who stays in 448, I know him because we all know each other there. But I did not have anything to do. In fact, the first time I hear that my CV is on the news is when I was asked a question. Did I know Tutuzani before? It's unfortunate that my own president is referred as Ubabaka Tutuzani. I regard President Zuma as my president, not Ubabaka Tutuzani. If you think that is the title befitting the president, it's unfortunate. I have been taught to respect my leaders.
Honorable Paul, what is the order?
The gentleman, the elderly gentleman, just told me to shut up. I want him to apologize before that bloke speaks. You apologize.
You know, Honorable Paul, you just said in this meeting someone is mad. And no one asked you to ask for an apology.
Nobody is mad.
Then that's why I'm saying we are going to focus on the work of, please, honourable members, we must focus on the work of this committee.
You see, Chairperson, this is why this man can get away with honourable Paulson. Because this committee with its ANC lackeys are an extension of that executive.
Honourable Paulson.
They are here to protect him.
Honorable Paulson, you should...
They are here to protect him. They must hold him to account.
I'm protecting you.
No, but they are protecting
I'm protecting
him.
You because... Because what you said in the House, I deliberately ignored. They should be angry to me that I didn't ask you to apologize. Because I knew if I asked you to apologize, we are going to be deflated. I want us to deal with this matter. Let's deal with the other issues later on. When we are now ourselves as a committee, we will deal with who said what to what. And if we think that one is going to take this country forward, if we think that accountability is to throw insults at each other, then that is not what this committee is all about. This committee is all... You see, now I was even marking to say, which could be these questions that the minister has not responded to, so that I remind him to respond to them. So... My problem is that I want to appeal to all of you, even those who feel that they are provoked, stick to the line. Don't try to move. Stick to the line, no matter how emotions are raising. Then when you are done, please increase your emotions because you are on your own. So about tell our yeah, that tell again up. Okay, man, nangulain. Kubera minister.
Mm-hmm. No, Chairperson. Thank you. I'm just indicating that President Zuma is my president. I do not know anybody who's called Ubabaka Thuthuzani in my work of place. I always respect my leaders as I respect these honorable members who have called me to come in account. And I do not want to put myself to answer questions that are not related. I don't know anybody called Ubabaka Thuthuzani. I know His Excellency, President Jacob Zuma. That's how I'm going to engage with any honorable member who want me to answer any question relating to the president, not to Ubabaka Thuthuzani. I think I want to make that clear, so that we are clear. I would not know the web that has 118 million and how it was channeled and this way. I'm not part of that web. Or at least to my best knowledge, I've not seen the web. I've seen other webs that talks about other important that this committee, other people that this committee may and have never raised, honorable members like Joan Rupert and other members of your different parties. I've seen those webs. So this one I've not seen. Whether the money went from this account to that account, I think that question will be best answered by the owners of this web. I did not have anything to do with that 118 million. In fact, in the provinces, even here, the job of the tenders and that of money is not the function of ministers or MECs. If there is something untoward that I'm alerted to deal with, and during my stay in the Department of Agriculture, I may just highlight to the members that I did not stay in the Department of Agriculture throughout the time when this project was implemented. I was taken to economic development at some point for 2 years. That is why I keep on saying, in order for you to have a full story, go to the Free State. Because at some point there was another MEC there. But I do not remember a situation when I was there, where I was alerted by KPMG or anybody of any wrongdoing. I think, Chair, these were the questions, and I've tried to answer them. As much as I could, but it is my express view that the matters raised in this committee, the majority of them are a subject of the investigation. And in certain instances, legal reviews are underway. Then it is my humble request that we allow the relevant institutions to get to the details of this matter and ensure that we lay them to rest. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Minister, I think there were few questions that, in fact, there are few questions that I'm not sure. Okay, the KPMG one falls off. The 30 million is the one you said you don't know, because the 30 million is part of the 118, ne? Which was said it became a comeback for the wedding. I assume it's part of that. Then I think there was a direct one. In fact, there are two. The one to India, whether you missed the flight, and then you flew to India, and what was it that took you to India? That is the one that I think is here. Then there is the one, I don't know the flight number. I thought the flight number was in relation to a private. Wait, Honorable Paulson, but no, I said I will invite anyone if I need to be assisted as a chair. You know, we power in Mwangalala. You. Hey. Don't outsource me. Don't outsource me. Now, Honorable members, I said, no matter how, you know, there's only one thing that I was taught. No matter how much you provoke me, I don't want to lie. I'm going to be very patient. You can prove, as long as I'm going to do what I was supposed to do. Anything you do now that has got nothing to do with this meeting, you are free to do it, but you are doing it at your own. So, but it's me who's chairing. Do you want to chair? It's me who's chairing. I told you, I said, if you are not here, I don't understand. What is this level? Please, cool down. Cool down, relax. You'll get your chance again. I'm one of the fairest chairperson you have ever met. I can guarantee you that one. Relax. I want the minister to answer the question. It's me from the chair. You usually ask in parliament, chair, my question. Now I want the minister to answer the question. So you could come back. Minister, I think I was talking about the flight to India and what was the purpose of finding yourself in India. Then there was the one whether you were ever on the Gupta plane. Then the number was mentioned. I will assume it was a private jet or private flight. So I think those are the two questions. Before I will come to another issue, Honorable Members, and I made that commitment, I'm okay with it. But we should be careful to go to a point where, in the final analysis, a question is asked, what does that have to do with your committee? Because this is the minister appointed in mineral resources. What does that have to... Because the problem is that after this process, we will then have to assess what the question members asked, what was the answer given. Whether when we discuss that, these answers that were given were relevant to the execution of executive action. I'm just saying, I'm not denying members from asking questions, any question, but finally, I would love that these, like Honorable Posse says, 120% in agreement, have got the duty of this committee making this minister to account. But he's not just accounting, he must account on the execution of his executive authority. But any other question that we ask, we should be careful that in the final analysis, it may not be relevant to this committee, what he's answering. For an example, I would love members to focus, for instance, forget the question of ESCOM, but whether there was anything untoward in the deal with regards to Glencore, Tegeta, Oak Bay, and so forth. Because that committee must then look at that issue, whether is there something that went untoward. Are there any complaints that were raised by the parties that were participants in that exercise? I'm just dealing with that thing so that we deal. That's why I said any question can be asked, but it must also assist this committee. Honorable Minister, can you answer these two questions?
Well, Chair, I thought I've answered them. I did say, so that I'm clear, I did go to India. I did go to Switzerland. I did go to Dubai. The details of my trips, as members would want to get, are on my answering papers, the subject of the court. So I think at that particular stage, my request is that let's deal with them at that particular stage. I did say I do not know anything about 30 million coming back to the wedding. Whose wedding? Because my wedding was long ago before that, if it's my wedding. So I do not know. I want to answer directly. What do I have to do with somebody's account from anywhere in the world to South Africa? They won't tell me what they are doing with their money. I believe that if somebody has earned their money, whether they have earned it from the department, how they use it, they won't come back to me and tell me we are now preparing for a wedding and are going to take 30 million. If that is an issue, I would request with all the humility that let's ask the holders of the account. Thank you, Chair.
I'm going to mix you now. Honorable Paulse, Honorable Schmidt, Honorable Mandela, Honorable Lorima. Yes, Honorable Paulse.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, you did say that any questions we ask must be related to this particular portfolio committee. But I think critical to this, Chairperson, is the relationship between the minister and a private family, namely the Guptas. Because we want to determine at which stage the minister was captured to determine the extent of the corruption, Honourable Chairperson. So I asked the question. In October 2012, the minister went to India with his choir. And I expressly asked, did the Guptas pay for this trip? I also ask, Chairperson, if the minister has been inside the Bombardier jet JS/OAK. Yes or no? You've either been inside the Gupta-owned jet, yes or no? The Guptas either paid for you and your choir to go to India, yes or no? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Minister, I want you to listen very carefully to the questions, because if you don't, and I saw you not making a note as to all these number of questions, you've been talking from the top of your head, which is fine if you've got the ability to recollect. But I want you to listen very carefully to these questions, and I want you to answer, because if you don't, I'm going to argue that you're willfully not answering the questions, or secondly, don't have the ability to answer the questions. So, and I'm going to put them specific. The first question is, I have an email with me, and it is dated 13 October 2012, and it follows the previous question. And it says, from you, zwanemail@gmail.com. I can only say, it's alleged that it's your email, but you, if it's you, give a detailed, with the subline, detailed itinerary. Hi, Year with rooming list as expected. Non-sharing, M. Jaiswani, which I suspect is you. And then six other names, seven of you. Then sharing, N. G. Zwane. Secondly, N. P. Zwane. Now the first question is, Mr. Chair, and I want you to listen very carefully. The first question is, did the Gupta family pay for this trip? Number two, did you send that email? Number three, who's N. G. Zwane and N. P. Zwane? That is important, Mr. Chair. And you have still not answered my question. And that's why I say you must please take notes carefully. My question to you wasn't about Duduzane Zuma. The question was that it was sent to Duduzane Zuma. My question was specifically, Minister, what was your relationship with the Gupta family, and in particular Tony Gupta, for the period 2012 to 2017? And secondly, more particularly, what's your relationship with him now? That's very clear. I hope you understand that. Secondly, the issue around the Waterkloof matter is that in your name as MEC, a formal invitation was sent, drafted by someone else. You signed it on an official MEC letterhead, you, after it was drafted for you. It's in March 2013. After the Minister of Defense, Nosipi Siwe Mapuisan Klokula, had refused permission for the plane to land at Waterkloof. You then, by that letter, which was sent, as I understand it, to Mr. High Commissioner Gupta, which I'm not sure is family, to the other Guptas we are talking about, but there's another Gupta, a High Commissioner from India, which was sent to that High Commissioner, Mr. Gupta, with the consequence that that plane landed at Waterkloof. Do you understand the question, Minister? Thirdly, the issue around December 2015 is as crisp as this. And I will explain it to you, because the documentation is here. You went on a flight in December 2015, after your appointment as minister. In Zurich, you did not catch the flight which was scheduled for your departure from Zurich. You took a flight, a private flight, a Gupta-paid flight. You stayed in a hotel paid by the Guptas. And I have the emails here. So if you want it, we can do the next round. You drove in a car which was paid for by the Guptas, was at least on the request of Mr. Ashu Chawla, referred to Mr. Singh for payment. But the point is, you didn't pay. That, Mr. Chair, and that's the point, and that's the crucial point. After you had seen Mr. Ivan Glassenberg at the Dordrecht Hotel in Zurich to facilitate, as you call it, the sale of that mine to a company with the ownership of which is the Guptas, with the Guptas, and I think Mr. S.R. Salim, if my memory serves me correct. So with Mr. Gupta, Tony Gupta, with Mr. Salim, you go to Mr. Ivan Glassenberg, you facilitate this sale of the hotel. Afterwards, you miss your scheduled flight, deliberately or otherwise, but you fly in an aeroplane paid for by the Guptas, on whose behalf you just facilitated the sale of a mine. You stay in a hotel paid for by the Guptas, and you drive in a car paid for. Now, Mr. Chair, Minister, if that is not a conflict of interest, I'd like to know what a conflict of interest is. That is the crux of the problem. If you can call it facilitation, I am sure you haven't done that to Mr. Mark Kitifani or any other business associate or any other businessman in the mining industry? If so, I would like to know who. That's the other issue. Now, and I'd like you to listen to this question as well. You have a personal advisor and a special advisor, Mr. Moodley. And Mr. Moodley is in business with Mr. Gupta. In short, I can show you. You appoint him as your special advisor, Mr. Mabasa, who is your personal advisor. If I understand correctly, if I remember correctly from my... benefited 10 million rand from the sale of that mine, Optimum Coal Holdings, to the Gupta family, Oakbay, and you employ him as your personal advisor. Now, if that's another conflict of interest, I don't know what's a conflict of interest. How do you appoint someone after going to Zurich, facilitating a sale of a mine, and a person is in business with the Guptas, you appoint as your personal advisor? You would say there's nothing wrong with the Guptas. You're treating the Guptas as any other business individual. And that's just the start of the question, which I'll leave to other issues. But there are more Gupta involvement than Mr. any other Marky Tufani, Ivan Glasenberg, than anywhere else in these papers. So your argument, with due respect, that you treat him like any other businessman, is, with due respect, not true. And I want you to answer to that, because it's a fair statement, and I'd like you to answer that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Asking to go to some other place is not a nice thing to mention the name. So we'll take just 5 minutes and then continue.
coffee. I don't want anything, even if it's latte or coffee, between latte or coffee, from that.
Okay. It's so difficult to chair this meeting. Either people, they want to help me to chair the meeting, show me how to chair the meeting, or they decide to chair themselves. I said 5 minutes. And I deliberately allowed them to increase the 5 minutes. Now, I don't know for how long I must wait for all of them to be back here. Where is Honorable Matlala? Honorable Jafta? Honorable Pauls, Honorable Lorimer, Honorable Lorimer is on the list of people. The last two committee members were to ask questions. Honorable Mandel.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe I'm trying to ascertain, Honorable Chair, from the input given and the question. Now, I have difficulty remembering the SA Express flight from East London to PE I took. What flight number was that? But let me dwell on that since it seems to be the question. The Honorable Minister just returned from Dubai on a conference there. What was the flight number of that flight? I think also coming from Joburg to Cape Town, you must have been on a flight. What is the flight number of that flight, Honorable Minister? But let me come back to the issue of the flights that have been alluded to in terms of Switzerland, Dubai and India. Were these trips in your personal interest, or whether were they official state business? If the latter, can the minister kindly provide details of each destination and the stated purpose of those meetings? If in a personal capacity, can the Honorable Minister disclose whether any such trips were in the interest of the Gupta family, or to advance the Gupta family interests? please clarify whether the state bore the costs of this trip or any such trips. Let me also ascertain, Honorable Chair, if at any stage has the Minister visited the Guptas or ever had meetings of any nature at the infamous headquarters of state capture in Sachsenwald. If so, what were the nature of your discussions, and did such visits relate to any of the allegations raised in the state capture report? Furthermore, whether in his view such alleged meetings advanced the allegations of undue influence on the head of the executive and cabinet ministers. And Chair, I'd like to know if the Gupta family and its associated businesses or business associates have done any business with DMR, the Department of Mineral Resources. If so, can the Honourable Minister provide the details of such transactions and whether he or his officials were beneficiaries or benefited directly or indirectly from such transactions? Let me come to the Glencore issue, Honourable Chair. Can the Minister clarify his role, if any, in the Tegeta Exploration and Resources, a company that is linked to the Gupta family, being named the preferred bidder for Glencore's Optimum mine in an estimated $2.15 billion deal? If so, what was the nature of his involvement, and whether did he consider such involvement ethical and beyond reproach? May the Honourable Minister, Chair, kindly advise whether there are any statutory provisions for compliance and disclosure by companies in the event of such changes related to the accounts for rehabilitation of mines registered with DMR. What measures do the department take when companies are in breach of such compliance? Further, what responsibility do financial institutions have in respect of compliance and disclosure to the DMR in respect of such changes? Can we gain advice, Honourable Chair, whether the department is privy to the allegations that the imminent closure of the Gupta's Bank of Baroda account may have put the rehabilitation funds at 280 million on Koorfontein Fund and Optimum Colliers 1.6 billion fund at risk? If so, what are the implications of such risk? Further advice, what action has been taken in mitigating of such risk, if any? If so, what this entails? Second but not least, Chair, may the Minister please advise what role, if any, he or his special advisor played to assist the Guptas in the acquisition of Optimum Coal Holdings. Further advice whether the Minister had said his special advisor to direct or indirectly linked to the shareholding of this company or derive benefit from its operation. May he furthermore clarify whether he had any role in convincing Glencore to sell the Guptas and
is to sell to the Guptas, and if so, what this entailed and whether the minister derived any benefit from such facilitation. If so, may he provide details. And lastly, Chair, to conclude on this matter, may the minister advise what role, if any, he played in acquiring the lucrative coal supply contracts from Eskom for Optimum Coal Holdings, and if so, whether he was compensated for such facilitation. If so, how much? Furthermore, whether he facilitated any prepayments from Eskom for such coal supply. Kindly provide details. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Lorima, I see you have exchanged when that Honorable... Oh, he's hiding behind you.
We're okay. Still here, Mr. Chair.
Okay, continue.
Despite the cold.
Well, I can't. I'm one person who is sitting so patiently but very painfully, but I can't do otherwise. I accept it.
Right.
I hope James will... what is this thing of ours? PAMED will work. I think we are being forced to use PAMED with this condition here. Continue.
Thank you. Minister, I have to say, the mock bewilderment with which you ask why you're so interested in the Guptas, I don't find very impressive. We all know what this is about. And if you want to know why the interest in the Guptas, because there's evidence that they paid for your choir to visit India, because there's evidence that they paid for you to go to India and Dubai, because there's evidence that they paid for aeroplane flights, helicopter flights, chauffeur-driven BMWs, and expensive hotel rooms. That's why the interest. There's evidence that you favored their companies, and you favored a company that was part-owned by the son of your boss, the president. That's why the interest in the Guptas. There's a lot of questions have been asked about a lot of issues. I just want to try and work around one and clarify that. You told us that only one company had shown an interest in buying Optimum to save the jobs there. Who told you that? Second question. You say you went to Switzerland because the owners of Oak Bay stayed there. Now, to my knowledge, Oak Bay is registered at 144 Catherine Avenue, Sandton. Why did you say that? You say that officials went with you when you flew to Switzerland to discuss the Optimum matter with Glencore. I'd like to know which officials. And then finally for this round, could you give us some indication of those negotiations in Switzerland? Now, it seems you met with Glencore, and the Guptas were also there. We know that. Can you tell us which Guptas were involved, which brothers or members of their business organizations in those discussions which facilitated the sale of the mine?
It was going to be interesting, Chair, also to just have a clarity in terms of is Glencore complaining or Targeta complaining whether the minister, when meeting with them, did something that they did not like. Because I have met with both of them, and the last time I met with Klenko is when they were introducing their new CEO, who said to me, you see, we are never on newspapers. we have never complained because we don't have any issue about this matter. Now, who is really having an issue? And what is this issue? Is it about the sale? Whether somebody participated and unfairly pushed somebody to make a deal so that we deal with those specifics. In my knowledge, like I'm saying, these two parties are happy. That's what they tell me. They were not forced to do this deal. My officials, I did say, indicated to me that there was one company. I did say that. And I did say, Chair, so that we are being fair to each other, that the matters that are raised by Honorable Smith as a follow-up are matters that are detailed in other platforms. And I did request you as a form of concern before I started, that the fact that this matter is dealt with in other three legal platforms is going to give me a little room to engage you objectively. You know that as a reasonable person and having a background of law, that you are being unfair to get to these details that I've said they are a subject of the court discussion. You know it. If you do not have any other ulterior motive to trial me out of the legal process or to gain cheap political gains, you should be reasonable enough to understand that I am saying these issues are sub judice. Whether you want to ask them in 5, 10, 15 different ways, they boil down to the same fact. At this point, the emails that you have, I have not had an opportunity to deal with them. And were they validated? Where? Do you want to subject me to the hearsay of the MG and the MP's one? I am MJ Musebenzi Joseph Zwane. That's me. And the whole of South Africa knows that. And now the MP and the MG, I would like to engage with them, test them. I guess they are leaked email. Have you tested whether they are fake or what? So that we are honorable, this house does not deal with me in a manner that is not befitting my status as an honorable member of this house.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, but you've got the opportunity now to do so, to indicate that they're fake and that they're not from you.
Wait, honorable member, you know, please. I wanted to stop the minister because I knew that with the comment of the record, it's going to end up being more like a dialogue. Can we concentrate on the work of the comment? Continue, Minister. don't worry about it, so that we sometimes I feel you get tempted with the gestures. Leave them. Just stick to. We will deal with the gestures later. I want the honorable members so that when we arrive at a certain point, we must deal with that thing. So I'm really, I know you want to, but can we just give dignity to this work?
Well, it is unfortunate that Honorable Paul thinks that I'm captured. My history will tell you that nobody can capture me. I have not been appointed just because I'm liked. I've served my credentials as a cadre in the ANC. I've never been a spy, and I'll not be one in any future. And I think I deserve better from you as an honorable member. If you serve your masters, say so. But to say in this house, you want to know at which stage the minister was captured, I think my brother is unfortunate for you. It's unfortunate for you. I'm answering you, nobody can capture me. Not even John Rupert can do that.
You know, sorry, Minister, you know what I will do, ne? And please don't complain. I can do that. Sorry, Minister, just switch off your mic. I can do that. Allow you, exchange, do whatever you want to do. And then you must agree, we will adjourn the meeting at the time we're supposed to adjourn. We will come back here because we like to spend time not doing anything fruitful. I can't chair a meeting and tell people who knows the rules of the meeting. We all know. It's either the intention is to delay the meeting so that it completely disfocuses itself. From a point of a disciplined, honorable member of parliament, you only raise your hand and you're given a chance to ask a question. I can't repeat every time what the rules of the meeting say. I know all of us here who are matured adults. Can you allow the meeting to flow in a manner that it's supposed to flow? Not a single person in this meeting has been deprived a right to ask a question. Can you continue, Minister? Yes? Let me address this issue, yes?
Thank you, Chairperson. And as much as you want to, I want us to move forward as well. But the minister, any question poses to him and he takes umbrage. And unfortunately, minister, it's my job to hold you to account. I'm not going to be like your comrades from the ANC that are here to protect you. You can't complain at how I ask a question, what question I ask. You simply have to answer yes or no.
Honorable person, you know, this is why I said, no, wait, can you own, wait, you know, that's why I said, I will, wait, my, when I, you know what I said? I said I will entertain you very nicely until I tell you that now the meeting is adjourned. And then say, hey, we had a very fruitful meeting because we could insult each other or we could undermine each other. The reason I said I'm going to ignore, it's simple because we are doing work here. And I'm not going to speak for the minister, but objectively, when you do something, expect that there is going to be something in return. For an example, when you said the minister is captured and is responding on the statement that you made that at what point is being captured and says, I'm laying bare my credentials and so forth and so forth and so forth. Now, Under normal circumstances, if we're dealing with the question straight, Minister, like you were asking the question, you have to do 1, 2, 3, we wouldn't be having that discussion that is completely irrelevant to the committee. Because now the Minister is not answering the question because he has to deal with the statement that was being made as a characterization of who he is. Now, that's why I said I'm trying to ignore those things because the focus... To characterize someone is not, may not be equal to making somebody to account. To make somebody to account is to ask a person on the actions that that individual would have taken to account on their relevance and correctness. But once you if you characterize me, for instance, and say, at what point do you become a spy? I'm making an example. Surely you can't expect me, I'm not going to respond to the fact that you are leaving a perception, a paint, that that individual is a spy. So I'm saying, can we leave those things? There is nothing wrong with the questions that honorable members have asked. The problem is that we will end up dealing with side issues that seeks to divert the committee. Please, we will deal with it. How do I view you? How do you view me? But for now, we are dealing with, and I'm saying the questions are 120% correct. Whether then on our own we see them as relevant is another issue. Okay, Honourable Minister Kondi, please, I'm appealing to you because at the end of the day, when we are supposed to adjourn, we are going to complain that we didn't do the work that we were supposed to do. Can you continue, Minister?
My two advisors are here, Chair. That is Ms. Zarina Kellerman and Mr. Malcolm Mabaso. I've just asked Malcolm because he's here. Do you know anything about this thing? He says no. Under normal circumstances, people know they must disclose. It's their work. I used to work with Kuben, who's no longer with me. What he's doing as a person, I do not know now. But to the best of my knowledge, I do not know any situation of anybody who benefited out of this Targeta deal, to the best of my knowledge. I will be glad to entertain any proven act if that such a information is there. I do not own a choir. I'm an artist. For your information, and it does not start when I'm a minister. I grew up in that family. I do sing gospel, and I did say, you can see people are writing my CV, they must not send it to anybody and say it's me again. I'm just giving information. I did say my relationship with the Gupta family is at a professional level, and I've not benefited from that relationship. The flight number of the flight from Dubai to here, I don't know. I did not write it. Zarina normally helps me with the flight number. and the one that comes here. But I prefer to be fair with the honorable members that these details, ZS, stroke, OK, should be dealt with at appropriate level. This level is asking me questions, and I can see members are having their videos, they are recording. They're going to use this information to prejudice me. And I'm just saying, those matters, let's leave them to the relevant platforms. I'm not running away. It is this issue that I raised before. So when I don't go to details, it's not because I'm afraid to get into those details. If we're engaging here and there are no other legal platforms that are dealing with this matter, I would go to town with these matters. Did I benefit or did I go to India on my personal capacity? No. It was work-related. Could I have done any business with DMR? They normally do business with. In fact, let me explain this. If a company is sold and things are normal, this company will engage with other businesses and say we are selling. They will inform me that they are selling, but they engage with other state businesses to see who can come and buy. That has been the process. The question becomes, why did you get involved in this one? My involvement was very limited. It was because 3,000 workers were losing their jobs. And that matter was brought in front of the cabinet. It's not the only matter that I've intervened. It's just that I think this one has an interest because of the Gupta surname, which is hated in this country, unfortunately. The loan mean CEO, Mr. Makara, came to me 2 months ago and said, Minister, we are in trouble. I think it was around 3,500 people who are going to lose jobs. Can you assist us to get a Section 11? There were still issues in terms of their BEE structure and so forth and so on. He was accompanied by who's the CEO of Impala, Chris Griffith. So that you have your issues right. And after pleading their case, I called the officials to say, in the best interest of the workers and investment in South Africa, let's help these people. Let them make an undertaking that they will deal with this matter of the BEE. I mean, that's what happened. Is there for records and they issued a statement that DMR has helped them to save jobs. Is there in the public arena? That is why when I started, I said there are other good things that we do. Unfortunately, the nature of honorable members in the opposition in South Africa, currently they will never say, Minister, you are doing well. They'll always say, you're not doing well. Mr. Makala is available. There is only one company here in South Africa that will normally get an exemption when it comes to diamonds, polish, and cutting. And that company has always been getting that exemption. And nobody is raising an issue. The BS. When I was engaging with them, because I engage with them, to say, I want us to beneficiate now here at home, not in Botswana, not anywhere else. We engaged, we were to go to court and test this matter, but finally I said, let's sit down. I gave them the exemption and avoided the court because I thought, let me be reasonable. When I was in Dubai now, in my speech, I did indicate that I'm supporting the BS in their fight against synthetic diamonds. Am I benefiting anything from them? No. Will these honorable members raise this issue? No. The question is why? Or else, just say, okay, Minister, you're doing a good job. Because I believe synthetic diamonds will damage the industry. And I believe that this company, De Beers, has much of its roots from our shores. I did put that in my statement. I did talk to their CEO that I will support that endeavor. I am calling them to discuss the issue of the exemption and find a solution. Because I am this minister that continuously will want to intervene.
Chairperson, you just said that we want to make progress. What the minister is speaking about was never questioned by anyone. We never asked about the beers, about his fight against him. He's a minister. He's supposed to act in the interest of the industry. We are not here to question that. We're here to question allegations of state capture. And the minister is deliberately sidetracking us. And Chairperson, you've got to bring him back on course.
Order.
And also this Ntata here, he's very, you know, he doesn't add any value here. He's just here to object to whatever anyone else asks. He's here to protect the minister.
Honorable Paul, sir, the problem is that you want to speak for yourself and then condemn others so that they don't speak. No, no, no. You see, that's you see, the problem is that The problem is that you make a statement, then no other person must be able to respond to you. And any person who responds to you is acting contrary to your belief. Now, when you come to a meeting, you express a view. That view that you express is not the absolute truth. It's contested. So, don't then say when that view is contested, you feel that you are put in an awkward situation. Let me make an example again here.
Your question is, and I agree with you 100%, is on state capture. When the answer is given, you balance the answer against the question. If I ask you a question, let's make an example, and I will make a very rude example. If you say, when Honorable Matlala speaks, I'm making an example, now he's making a nonsensical statement. Then you make a statement, he says to you now, or when I say that, he says, but why don't you say this one is a nonsensical statement? Because is it because it's used to Mr. Paulson? It is not a something that is going wayward. It's something that says, if this you say, like you said, is state capture, what is different from this one? So it is for the committee to make its own objective integration of the two statements, whether are they the same or are they different. So I don't want us to say now when I'm giving an answer, I should give the answer in a way that does not make a clarification, because when you clarify, you can't say you only respond to what I asked you here. And I can tell you now, if I chair the meeting, that would be my balance. Why should I allow you to speak as and when you want to? And I don't allow this one to speak simply because now I don't want to enter debate whether this is ANC, that one is DA, this one is EFF. It's not how you run the meetings. If that member is, you see now, because once we bring in politics on this thing, then you must just forget it. We're not doing the work that our people have sent us to do. None of the members here, what now you want to paint all of them as ANC. Just say Honorable Matlala, if you don't know, or this honorable member to next to Nelson Mandela to Nkosi Mandela. Now, if you say that, say no, this member is the way he's doing it is defending the minister. But if you want us to play Paul, not a single member here is coming. When you join this committee, you speak as a member of committee and as a parliament. Because I don't want someone who's going to stand up now and make a statement on behalf of the ANC and say the ANC is under attack and therefore refers to you. We end up debating politics when we are given a duty by our people to deal with very serious matters. Can you continue, Honorable Minister? You see, now you're going to make me, quite soon you'll be accusing me that I'm suppressing you.
Sir, okay, thank you.
Continue. As long as you are not going to take the meeting offline. Please, okay.
No, thank you, Chair. With all the humility, I was asked, which other companies have I ever intervened? Is a question. I had to respond, because if I don't respond, then I'm accused of not responding. I was just saying, for record purposes, I do intervene. As we speak, I got a call from the CEO of Lonmin, Mr. Makar, who wants me to intervene, because people are dying in that mine. I will be talking to the Minister of Police and the Premier. We'll go there and intervene. Is to me, is what I do on a daily basis, irrespective of who asks me to intervene. I do intervene. I did intervene when a member of IFP in NCOP said to me, there is a problem in KwaZulu-Natal of sand mining. I said, I will go and intervene. I went there with the plane, and I intervened. And the member came back and said, we thank the minister. The minister went and intervened. So to me, that's what I do regularly without expecting any remuneration. There is a norm in this industry, and I can hear now that we need to be careful. There is a norm that companies will request a minister during SNPs or during any other moment to get into their plane. I've been offered more than once by different companies locally here. Minister, we have an SLP in Limpopo. Rather than driving, can you jump in with us in our plane and go and see this project? I have never thought, honestly, that to the eyes of honorable members and to the eyes of the public, it will be captured. Because we have now just got into a plane of somebody doing business here, going to the SLP. I think we shall have to sit down, because I can hear that this matter has been raised sharply. With a conclusion, Chairperson, that if you are there, you are captured. That trend has not happened with me. I have asked officials when I arrived as a minister, am I the first one who's been given the invitation? They said, no, it's a norm. Companies normally do that with the ministers. So I can hear what members are saying, but I thought I should respond to that. Was Tageta a preferred bidder? According to the information that I have, I want to repeat, it was the only bidder. Even today, without my involvement, I'm made to understand that if there is a sale of a project, these companies do sell. If you are interested, they don't say, why you? You are interested, they sell to you. So I do not understand as to why, in the case of Target being the only bidder, this thing is viewed as wrong. Is it because Tageta involved Mr. Tutuzan? If yes, Mr. Tutuzan is a South African, black, young South African, who is allowed, like any other person, to do business in South Africa. We do allow Chairperson in this country, foreigners, people from China, Germany, Canada, Australia, to buy our resources. Now, I do not understand what is the fuss when a South African young person goes to the market, acquire a project, why we should say because his father is this honorable member, he's not supposed. He has followed what is being followed by anybody, whether locally or abroad, and we're happy to get for the first time young black people owning more than 50% of the company in South Africa. Unfortunately, because of the pressures of the media, we had to backtrack in terms of transformation. But there is nothing that we did which is unto us in that BD. Rehabilitation measures, the closure of the bank is posing a risk. Chairperson, the truth is that we all know. That the bank accounts are being closed to stop these people from doing business in South Africa. They will hinder this process. Is it a fair manner of doing business? No. We have not got correspondence currently, but what I've heard over the news is that the account is still open to deal with these other issues. And maybe at this point, just to say, Tageta is selling this asset back to South Africa, to anybody. And it will be nice that we close this chapter and ensure that we follow all the laws. We don't hamper the progress when it comes to the closure of the banks. I did say earlier on, and I was harassed, that there is collusion within and amongst South African banks when it comes to the closure of the bank. I was asked even to resign. 3 months down the line, when the report went out that indeed there is collusion, nobody said you were right. So it is always important for us as leaders in any platform to stand for the truth. If we want to deal with the issue of state capture, let us be holistic. When these mines are not doing well, the Minister of Mineral Resources must account. When banks in South Africa are assisting other companies to do business and are restricting other companies not to do business, that's not an issue. To me, it is an issue because we must increase investment in South Africa. So anybody who's not treated fairly, I will stand up for them. And that will not mean I'm captured by them. If tomorrow Klenko's account is closed, I will stand up and confront the banks because Klenko is my client. Klenko is doing business in South Africa in the sector where I'm the minister. That is why I am supporting DBS because they are my client. Eskom, I have entities, Honorable Chair, Council for Geoscience, Mintec. I have now acquired PASA from Energy, and I'm going to acquire African Exploration as a state mine, because there is a resolution that says they must go to mineral resources. I'm just implementing that resolution. I also have a counsel for a state diamond trade and the regulator and this health and what council, health and safety council. Those are my entities. And ESCOM is not one of them. Now, it always puzzles me that I'm viewed as this extra strong, very powerful minister who can talk to anybody in this department to do people a favor. If you ask Minister Lindbrow or anybody, they will tell you, I'm very humble, very respectful, and I don't involve myself in other people's business. I leave their businesses to them. If I want police to accompany me to Limpopo, I talk to my counterpart and say, can you please allow me to have security to Northwest. I do not have any role and have not played any role as a minister to influence ESCOM to favor anybody in terms of the contract. And I will not do so. If I do have any intention to engage other entities beyond our borders, like I'm engaging NEF, I will talk to the relevant departments, and me and the minister will then jointly engage on that matter. So I do not know any issues about ESCOM. Currently, I've not influenced anybody. Sex and Weld. I now know where Sex and Weld is. And if I have money, I would love to have a house there. It is in South Africa. And as a cadre of African National Congress, we must never allow a situation where a particular race clustered in terms of their richness are only allowed to live in a particular place. And that place is made to be a no-go area of any of us. I also want to go to Stellenbosch here in Cape Town. There's somebody living there which we may not talk about. If I have an opportunity, I will visit this honorable person because I think he can assist South Africans. So I will go to Stellenbosch like I'm going to Sex and Wealth. I will go to all these areas where there are people that can be engaged. Should you need any information about my going there, I will provide that information. So, in short, I know Sex and Wealth, but I've never been in Stellenbosch. My intention is to go to Stellenbosch also, so that at least I balance. If I'm accused of not having gone to Stellenbosch currently, I would accept that, humbly so. There's a question I was asked by Honorable Lorim. I think I've forgotten that question. It's not because I'm dodging it.
It's not the one about what was happening in the meeting, the nature of the meeting in the facilitation.
You know, that meeting gave me an experience. There's a vast difference between politicians and business people. I know now. In a meeting of business people, you don't have preambles. I'm so and so, whatever, coming from ANC. You stick to the issues. They either agree or they don't agree, meeting closed. Handshake. Short, precise, to the point. I'm going to take the deal, I'm not going to take the deal. So I had a nice experience. And I want to appreciate that opportunity given by South Africans to be the minister of these minerals in South Africa. I'll continue to learn. The reason why Mr. Lorimer knows what happened in that meeting, there was a video record that was done there. And as I suspect you have the details. And why are these details not coming out? Because they are recorded as you are recording. It's because the minister did nothing untowards. And I can't force anybody to bring them out because Klenko and Target have never complained. They tell me in the face. Because if they had complained, I would say produce that record, put it on the table, so that the people of South Africa understand that I intervened just like that and closed the meeting. Because those were business people. It took less than 10 minutes. Chair, I have tried to deal with the questions as much as I could. May I have a 2 minutes break?
No, I was not going to grant you the 2 minutes break, except that it's going to be with me, because some of you had relieved yourselves. Honorable Lorimer, Honorable Paulse, or Honorable Schmidt, Honorable... You must now look at the time, like I was saying. Ne? The meeting should be ending at 12:30. Now, you can't tell me about a meeting that is organized through the rules of mine. Why are you telling me that no? Just honestly, tell me, why are you saying no? No. He's a member of parliament. I don't want a member to say something and then we leave when there's something. He might be helping me. Why are you saying no, Honorable Paulson? I can't hear you. Say it on the mic so that tomorrow I don't.
Can we go to 1:00?
You said no when I said the meeting is supposed to. Let me tell you the reason the
Chairperson,
meeting.
It's fine. We on taxpayers' money. We must.
No, don't say taxpayers' money. We've got time scheduled in Parliament. I want to say it in public so that at 12:45 there is a joint chairperson's meeting.
Okay.
So you can't continue with the meeting with a chairperson who's not present.
They can fill you in. This one is more important.
I don't want to say things that to me, they are not relevant. You see, now, again, let me send the procedures of Parliament. You apply for the meeting and is given a set time to continue. So I will have to go back and apply to the House Chair that the meeting continues beyond the scheduled time. You see? Honorable Schmidt?
Mr. Chair, I see the minister has now left. not sure whether he's running away permanently or... But can I just ask? There's clearly, we all have a round of questions. And the minister, like he tried to indicate, the business people are quite to the point. I'm not sure he's been quite to the point. But can I just then suggest that we then, at opposite 12 adjourn, and that we have another meeting where we pose our next round of questions, because clearly in 10 minutes we're not going to finish with the minister not being here. But more importantly, Mr. Chair, I am considering it on the point raised by Mr. Lorimer. We have always introduced everyone in this committee, even the people in the gallery, where they've got nothing to say or to add. And I would like to place on record the DG is here, his legal advisor is here, Ms. Sapati Dlamini is here, a member from his staff, and I'm not sure the gentleman in the blue is, but I think it's fair to put it on record like you do every single meeting. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
No, Honorable Schmidt, we can have this discussion if we like to. I said, and this is the practice, that's me, that's your view. I said, even when we do oversight, people introduce themselves because they are participants in the meeting. That is what I know. Now, as an example, if there is a delegation here, it's going to make presentation. Because someone after that would say, I'm giving over to so-and-so. That's what the department used to do. But if that's what you feel, let's leave it. But I don't believe that's what this thing can, it has got any material bearing to the meeting. But we're not utilizing the time. The second thing I must say, I don't have a problem with the honorable members. I'm disadvantaged by being the chairperson. I could have asked this simple, because I'm also trying to look at the work of the committee. I would have expected a question very straight and direct. Honorable Minister, have you ever been influenced by any of in the corporate world that in the appointment of your staff or any other person been influenced in doing so? Have you ever taken a decision that is a decision that is commanded to you? So that as a committee, we are able to then say, okay, just as an example, have you ever influenced the issuing of a mining license to any of the private companies? So that in the process of us dealing with these things, we then say, but the minister, I'm making just an example, now denied that he was ever influenced to make someone to issue a mining license, as an example. And on the basis of that, we feel now that the minister did not say what is... Now, it's within the execution, because to me, if we were to talk about the capture, so that we draw sometimes the risk is going to happen here, we will deal with issues of ethics, not issues of the execution of executive authority. And I'm saying at that point where we have that discussion, I hope we'll be able to tease. But at this stage, I wanted to ask this question. I haven't heard a question for me that is directly on the question of the execution of authority by the incumbent. And I'm saying I can see where we might end up if we don't deal with that particular matter. So that I'll be honest, I can see that with due respect, DG, because you are the owner, I can see that, yes, this person was appointed irregular. I'm making an example. Irregularly on the basis that he may not have had the necessary qualification, but because someone else would have given an instruction to the minister, you shall appoint so-and-so. Then we are dealing with our duties to say, but you as the minister, who instructed you to take, I'm just making that example, take no offense, DJ, and say, because I know they may interpret it as if I've got suspicion about your appointment. No, it's never my intention. But I'm just saying from a committee point of view, we look whether the minister in his application of executive authority acted irregularly. Because it is not him, it's somebody else talking, but using
him as a person. Just as an example, Honorable Schmidt, can we wrap up? I agree your proposal. It's something that will have to be considered with the meeting. But I don't think the public is fully aware that, and I want to stress this thing, is fully aware that you can't just have a meeting here and decide. One, we will then have to go back to the House Chair, ask for a special time. Second, we have to sit down and say ourselves now, having the minister here, do we think we have done enough justice? And if we say we have not done enough justice, what becomes the next point? Then it means we'll be subject also to his availability. If we say we meet on Sunday, we will be subject to your availability. That is why I was trying, not to say I was pushing honorable members to quickly rush up issues, but I was speaking because every time you get here, I'm convinced you must use it to the maximum benefit, but without dragging it unnecessarily. Honorable Schmidt, you made a proposal. You say, let's consider rescheduling the meeting.
Yes, Mr. Chair, but could I just, in short reply to what you said, it is no sense asking Mr. Zwane, Mr. Zwane, did you receive, I'm just going to make a rough example, 20 million rand from Mr. Gupta? Of course you would say no. So what do? You put the facts which lead to that conclusion to Mr. Zwane. And if Mr. Zwane says, no, I'm not prepared to answer it, well, then we need to debate that. But that's the only point I wanted to make, and that is, you cannot just make a bold statement and say, Mr. So-and-so. The facts are here. Mr. Zwane refuses to answer. That we need to deal with. But I support the fact that we need to postpone in order to finish this matter. There's a number of questions I'd like to ask him, and I believe there's other hands as well. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Honourable Lorim?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I second that. I still haven't heard answers to my four questions of the previous round, and I have additional questions.
What were your four questions that were not answered?
All right, let me recap. The Minister said that he was told that only one company had shown an interest in buying Optimum. I want to know who told him that. Secondly, he said he went to Switzerland because the owners of Oak Bay stayed there. Well, I want to know why he said that, because the owners of Oak Bay stay in South Africa and Oak Bay is registered in South Africa. I wanted to know which officials travelled with him to Switzerland. That I haven't heard the answer to. And I want to know which members of the Gupta family or Gupta family companies participated in those negotiations in Switzerland.
Okay. Honourable Minister?
Chair, I
No, I'm just looking at, because it's more like those questions were not answered. I'm not starting a new hands. So we will come back to you if that is the case. If you feel there is a question you asked and the minister did not answer, we will come back. Honourable Minister?
I did say I was told by my officials. That there was only one company and nobody has come back to say there were two or three. Even Tlenko themselves, they did not say, no minister, there's another interested party you're missing. I would have called them. The boss of Tlenko does not reside in South Africa, as far as I know. Mr. Ivan Klesenbeck does not reside in this address that is given to me. He resides overseas. That's the man I wanted to engage with, and I got him. And he told me that in South Africa, his CEO was in South Africa at that time, Efron. Let me say Efron. is the one who I wanted the boss. In fact, this question raises a very interesting point, that most of these companies that have their addresses here in South Africa, their bosses are not here. Be it Anglo, Glencore, you name them. If you want to deal with the bosses, you shall have traveled to either Switzerland or London in most instances. That's where they reside. And on an urgent matter as this one, I thought it appropriate that let me deal with the bosses and save the jobs. As I met with Glazenberg, I met also with Mr. Gupta. To deal with this matter, I did allude to that fact, Chair. Which other question I have not answered?
Through you, Chair, which officials travelled with you on that trip?
Well, the official who travelled with me is not here currently. Mr. Rapela went with me in that trip as an official responsible. Yeah, I think I have it correct. Any other question I've not answered?
No, Chair. I'm trying to assist and put a recommendation, Honourable Chair, on the mere effect of time that is against us, to try and see if there are any other questions that are pertaining to mineral resources and our work as this portfolio committee. But also, because this is a matter of public interest, Honourable Chair, I'd like to also bring to your attention so that we correct the perception that has been put out by our media in terms of illegally paper or paper that is sitting here with us, writes that National Assembly Chairperson Baleke Mbete instructed the committee to request the Honourable Minister's presence to respond to claims in public domain. I'd like that corrected, Chair, through you, because we are not sitting here and convening this meeting as a result of an instruction from the Speaker of the National Assembly. It is as a result of a letter that came from the House Chair, Honourable Frolic. Then it also goes to further say that the committee chairperson, Luzipho, of the ANC, said the Honourable Mbete did not give any terms of reference. I'd like to also correct that, Honourable Chair, that it is not the Speaker of Parliament, it is the House Chair that you made reference to, so that there's no misconceptions of what we are doing here today. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Honourable Members, it's a very complex matter. I must be honest. Thank you, though you did it. You are not like the last two meetings. There is a recommendation which again will be subject to, obviously we will write to the minister officially that we continue with the meeting. Now we'll have to juggle in between when the minister says it's available. It might be the day when the committee is not meeting, and therefore we will be subject to the House Chair approving the date of those meetings. but also the availability of other members. As I said, that some of the members are serving in more than one committee. That is the first thing that we will deal with. But can I appeal to honorable members that, as I said initially, it would have been nice to deal specifically with issues that relate to the executive actions. We will have, even regardless what will be the time, we will have to deal with the issue of what then do we think is supposed to be the next process going forward. The minister, no, we will look at that at the appropriate time. Says you are open, you are invited to go to Friede. We will see when we deal with the matter. And hopefully, and I was joking to the secretary, said, hey, maybe also we must consider being invited to go to Switzerland. Take another, take another study tour and say we're going to, you see. But it's quite complex, honorable members, but we will deal with, we will try and manage the situation. Finally, we will also, I think at some point we will need to get even legal guidance. What are the parameters of this committee? Besides the issue, I sometimes allow, there's only one battle, honorable member, but it's good to make the correction. One battle I've accepted, yeah, you never win to those. At least there is no way you can win there. It's something that you must just accept. I'm sure they had it. We will then decide so that some of the issues maybe will be advised finally, where obviously decision will come from us. But I think we'll need some legal guidance in terms of the procedure and processing these matters and what could be the best option. For now, Honorable Minister, unfortunately, I don't know what is in the pockets of people. So I can't search and know what are these questions that they say they have not finished, been able to finish. But we will do the correspondence and then we'll come back and give a feedback into the committee. If it's faster, the better. But for now, we have not made any decision yet. We are still just doing the work. On that note, thank you very much, honorable members. We appreciate your presence. Thank you, honorable minister and your team. We will have to consider next time that whether we make people compulsory or automatic, that every delegation, every time you come here, the delegation gets introduced. Maybe it's being used to some of these things. Thank you very much. You are released.
Amatache.